Oh, it is so good to have each one here this morning. Have several who we've known and loved in time past. Well, we still love them. And glad that they're here, glad that you're here to worship God here at Woodbine for the last time in this building. Woodbine began with five people meeting in the home of Iola Mae Naves in 1947. In 1951, when many more were added to their number, the church acquired this property where the basement was built about 1955. They started worshiping in the basement, and in September 1962, the building was finished and dedicated. I think I got these facts right. And if not, somebody call that to my attention. Brother Martin Ray was the minister at that time, and he preached the first sermon in this auditorium. And that dedicated servant of God has continued preaching throughout the decades. In the last few weeks, we've been blessed in having Brother Hubert Raines to bring us some wonderful lessons. We appreciate him so much. During the years Woodbine's been here, the church has helped in many programs in Tennessee, in other states, and in other countries. Much of this work was done under the oversight of Don Smith and Mitchell Smith, elders. We're blessed to have Brother Don Smith still with us, serving along with Brother Philip Land as elders. We appreciate these brethren so very much. This building and lot are being donated to the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief. This will assist their work of helping people throughout the country as needed, and we rejoice in that. This morning, as we say, this is the last time we will meet in this building, but this is not the end. Members and former members of Woodbine just can't be held down. They're going to be worshiping, and they're going to be working somewhere in one of the neighboring congregations. Thank God for such dedication and love for the Lord that has been so evident here at Woodbine. Let's each unite ourselves with another congregation and continue and even intensify our work for the Lord. This morning I want to ask you, how are you? Is everything well with you? There are times when we underestimate a situation. There are times when we know everything's all right. But there are times when we know that things are not all right. When greeting one another, we use the common expression, how are you? I guess everybody does that. Hello, how are you? First thing we say. And many people don't even listen for the answer. I tried that out one time. I met a fellow in a store, and we were kind of passing by, and he said, well, how are you? I said, half dead, thank you. How are you? He said, fine. Didn't even hear what I said. I was in a doctor's office, and doctors are supposed to listen to what you say. And he said, how are you? I said, deliriously happy. And he went ahead looking at his charts. He didn't hear me either. There was a wonderful lady of this congregation. In the last few years of her life, she was in constant pain. I won't mention her name, but her initials is Reba Nance. And every time you'd say, Reba, how are you? She'd say, fine. Well, she was anything but fine. But that's what she would always say. Give you a few Bible examples of this. King David sat in Jerusalem waiting for news. His son Absalom had revolted and tried to take over the kingdom. And Joab, ahead of all of his army, was out fighting the men that were with Absalom. And King David sat here waiting for news about his beloved son. And he saw a messenger coming. And he said, "Oh, it's Ahimaaz." And Ahimaaz came up to him and he said, "All is well." Well, all wasn't well. Certainly wasn't. The worst thing in David's mind that could happen, happened. And he said, "All is well." Why? Did he skirt the issue? Was he afraid of the consequences of telling the truth? I'm afraid that many times we, as members of the Lord's church, know the facts of the gospel and know what people ought to do to be saved, and yet we'll say to them, "All is well. You're okay like you are." Well, they're anything but all right. We have to tell the truth regardless of the consequences. Thank God, though, that in our day people are not suffering and dying because they're Christians in this country or because of preaching the gospel. There are some in other countries that are being persecuted and killed for being Christians. Just recently, a woman was beheaded for blasphemy because she was a Christian. It is happening. Another Bible example. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Elisha cured Naaman the Syrian of leprosy. Remember, he came to the king of Israel wanting to be cured. And he said, "Am I God?" Now, he said, see how he's trying to start something here between Israel and Syria. And somebody said, no, you go down to Elisha and he'll cure you of your leprosy. So here he came down there and he pulled out. You can just imagine his chariots, you know, and all of the pomp and splendor. And he pulls up outside of his house expecting the prophet to come out and kowtow to him. But Elisha just sent Gehazi, his servant, out and he says, "You tell him to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan." He said, "River Jordan?" He said, "Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus are far better than this old muddy Jordan." He didn't say muddy Jordan, but that's what it was that time of year. And he got all upset. And again, a servant came to him and said, "Now, if he had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it?" He said, "Now, why don't you do it?" So he dipped 7 times in Jordan and he was cured of his leprosy. So then he comes back to Elisha's house. And he said, "Let me give you some money. I'll give you some gold. I'll give you some changes of garment." And Elisha said, No, you just go on your way. And here's Gehazi, the servant, standing there listening to it all. And he said, "I'm going to take something of this Syrian. I'm not going to let him get by without paying something." So he ran after the chariot and Naaman stopped and he jumped out of the chariot and he said, "Is all well?" And Gehazi said, "Yeah, all is well." All wasn't well. His greed and his evil nature was showing through. And then he lied. He said, "Just as you were leaving, there were 2 sons of the prophets came down from Mount Ephraim. I'd like for you to give them 1 talent of gold and 2 changes of garment." And he said, "Well, here, take 2 talents of gold and 4 changes of garment, and I'll even carry them for you back." So he goes back to Elisha standing before him. Elisha said, "Where'd you go?" He said, "I didn't go anywhere." He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "The leprosy that was on Naaman will be on you for the rest of your life." "Was all well?" He said it was, but it certainly wasn't. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a Shunammite couple, and this Shunammite woman really stood out in the Old Testament. She saw Elisha go by several times, and she said, "I perceive this as a man of God. Let's fix him a room here where he can stop and stay overnight as he's traveling." And so they fixed him up a room, and they put a table and a chair and a bed and a candlestick. And in due time, she came to him and she said, "I would like to have a child. We are childless." And so he said, "Well, the Lord will give you a child." So in due time, she had a son, and everything seemed to be fine. And one day, the son was out in the field, and all at once he cried, "Oh, my head, my head!" And he fell down, and she carried him to the house, and he died. Oh, you can imagine the grief. And she sent a servant and said, go find Elisha. And she herself went after Elisha. And she didn't find him till she came to on top of the mountain. She found him. And he said, "Is it well with you?" She said, "It is well." He said, "Is it well with your husband?" She said, "It's well." "Is it well with the child?" She said, "It is well." Well, how could it be any worse than it is? The child is dead. But she said, "All is well." Now, as Christians, one may well ask, is all well with your soul? Is everything all right between you and God? And you might answer, all is well, when it might not be. All may not be well spiritually. When we greet one another, again, the common expression is, "How are you?" But the difference is, even though some people don't care how you are, physically or spiritually or any other way, we care. We love you, and we care, and we want everything to be all right with you, both physically and spiritually. But you can say, "Well, I'm all right, but Brother Wright, it's awfully hard to keep myself straight." Can you understand that? Can you agree with that? It's awfully hard to keep yourself straight. You say, "Well, how am I going to do it? How can I keep myself all right with God day in and day out?" Well, let's hear the Hebrew writer, chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us or attack us. And let us run with patience." Now there's a good word. How many of us have patience? "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now listen. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Looking unto Jesus. Keep our eyes on Him. There were three little boys one time that came out of the house, and here was, it had snowed. I mean beautiful snow. And the boy said, let's walk from here to the fence over there and see if we can make straight paths. So the three little fellows started out. And they walked all the way across the yard. And two of the paths were just this way and that. But the boy in the middle made a straight path all the way. And the other fellow said, how'd you do it? He said, you see that tree there? He said, I kept my eyes on that tree. Didn't take my eyes off of it. And I made the straight path through the snow. That's what we're talking about. Looking unto Jesus. If we keep our eyes on Him, if we keep our mind on His will, we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. God is concerned with how you are. But He needn't ask. He knows. So this morning we'll ask, how are you? Is all well? How wonderful it is, how marvelous it is to sit and contemplate your relationship with God and say to yourself, all is well. Oh, it's such a wonderful feeling when you can say that. But this morning, all may not be well between you and God. Maybe there's something you need to do. There may be people here this morning who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You have never confessed your sins and confessed the sweet name of Jesus before men. Maybe you've never been baptized into Christ. Your sins have not been washed away. You're in a lost condition. So when I say, how are you? You say, oh, I need to obey the gospel. Now there may be folks who have obeyed the gospel and are now not faithful. They don't pray anymore. They don't study their Bible anymore. They rarely worship, if at all. And I can say, how are you? And if truth were told, you say everything's not all right. Then we ask, how can we help? Do you need to obey the gospel this morning? We can assist you in that. Do you need to be restored? Oh, we'd be very happy to welcome you back to the fellowship of the Lord. If you have such a need this morning, we would invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.